Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem.
This is Economic Perspectives.
Welcome to Economic Perspectives. I'm Hopeton Hay. Carl Turner, president of A La Carte Specialty, has been selling packaged seafood products across the United States since 2003. Based in the New Orleans metro area, his company thrived in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in 2005, survived the death of demand for his shrimp products after the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico in 2010, and is currently rebuilding sales after COVID-19 shut down his primary customer base of restaurants. In this two-part interview, we discussed his career journey to entrepreneurship, which included serving as executive director of the Louisiana Seafood Promotion and Marketing Board and as a vice president at Xavier University of Louisiana. Talk a little bit about how working at the Seafood Promotion Board, and I will reveal to the audience that we've actually known each other since 1983 or 1984. I used to work for you.
That is correct.
And despite your youthful appearance that people can't see, you're actually older than me.
That is correct. In fact, I turned 65 last Sunday, so I'm very happy.
Happy birthday, and I turned 60 back in March. But those years with the Seafood Promotion Board, we had a huge debate about crawfish, whether Louisiana crawfish or Texas crawfish was better. You had a debate with Jim Hightower, who was the agricultural secretary of Texas at that point in time. So I do want to settle that debate once and for all. I grew up in New Orleans. I've lived in Texas longer than I've lived in New Orleans. Carl, is Louisiana crawfish really better than Texas crawfish?
Well, of course it is. I mean, we are the Louisiana, it's the mecca of crawfish in America, the number one producer of crawfish, producing over 100 million pounds annually, both farm raised and wild caught. But, you know, no offense to the Texan crawfish production. I simply think it's not as the volume is not as great, but I'm pretty sure at this point, I would say the taste and texture is probably about the same. We just bigger.
A lot bigger.
Yes. But, you know, crawfish, you know, somewhere along the way, one day in Louisiana legislature, they didn't have anything to do. So they passed a law to make it the official state crustacean. So you can't talk bad about our crawfish here.
But I'm the big lover of shrimp.
Okay.
And you guys, A La Carte Specialty Foods, has some shrimp products.
Yeah, my business partner and I operate a shrimp processing plant over in West Wego, producing probably about anywhere from 8 to 10 million pounds of domestic shrimp annually. That's one of the products that we do, domestic shrimp. We do some domestic crawfish. And so right now, we have a shrimp cake that we're promoting. It's I jokingly say what the world needs now is not another crab cake, because they're everywhere. So what we did, we created a shrimp cake that's made of minced shrimp, chopped shrimp, and whole shrimp. So when you mince shrimp, it becomes a paste and it holds it together. And so when you look at it, it doesn't look like a shrimp patty, like some ground shrimp, but rather whole shrimp throughout the product. It's a 4-ounce product. And we're actually, you know, we don't know for sure. We don't cross our fingers, but we're presenting this product to some retailers in Texas. There might be a company in San Antonio, I think, called Boomer's Seafood that currently sells that product. And so the shrimp cake is one of the items. And then there's a smaller shrimp popper or ball-like product that we do. And then, of course, there's raw shrimp frozen, whether it's head-on, shell-on, peeled, deveined, in various different product forms. And we're even going to work out and got some equipment in now to start doing some dried shrimp that is very big in the Asian market.
So as a Black entrepreneur based in the New Orleans area, how did you get into business? Your undergraduate degree is in philosophy. philosophy.
Yes. Yes.
You hid that from me back in the day.
Yes.
You got an MBA from the University of Kentucky. You focus on international business, which explains, of course, you're importing breaded oysters from China.
Right.
So, but how did you end up making that move from the Seafood Promotion and Marketing Board of Louisiana to Xavier University of Louisiana for Vice President for Institution Advancement, but then taking a dive into being an entrepreneur?
Well, let's start off with philosophy, okay? And we'll talk about that. You know, first of all, philosophy is what it does two things, really, I think. It teaches critical thinking and analysis and sort of logic, and it's very important. There's a lot of reading and writing. So I think philosophy develops analytical skills, critical thinking skills, and writing skills. And those three things, I think, are the foundation of liberal arts education. So once you build that foundation, you can apply those principles to other fields. And so from Fisk University, my alma mater, I then went to the University of Kentucky to get a degree in a program there called the Patterson School of Diplomacy and International Commerce. But before I make that leap to that part of my life, let me just say my father, where I grew up in Kentucky, was a coal miner. We grew up in a little town called Lynch, Kentucky, not to do with anything with historical practices, but it's in Harlan County. My father was a coal miner. And when I got a degree in philosophy, he was like, son, okay, what is that about? You're going to get on a mountain somewhere and start coming up with some new philosophies. But in the long run, I think, you know, for me, it was, as I said, it taught me some critical thinking skills, some writing skills and communication skills. And I think those are very important attributes, no matter what.
Now, I'm going to jump in here real quick because you mentioned a liberal arts education, this university where W.E.B. Du Bois went to. And then you're in business, which makes me think of Booker T. Washington.
Okay.
So you're a little bit of Du Bois and a little bit of Booker T. Washington.
Wow, that would be an ultimate compliment. Yes. I don't know what to say after that. Thank you very much. But I know Fisk was a great school, and at the time that I was there, you know, we had a lot of very prominent professors. C.R.F. Lincoln, who wrote the autobiography of Malcolm X, was my mentor and professor at the time. And so there's a lot of things that we learned, and I'll be very, very happy with that education that I got from that historically Black college, and certainly supporting the university today as much as I can. And I encourage all of the listeners out there who may or may not have been to an HBC, even if you didn't, and you were a big time athlete somewhere, just remember it. Texas, University of Texas can do without your contribution. Give it to Texas Southern or Prairie View. But, you know, we got to support our own institutions. So I try to do that with Fisk. And but I digress shortly. Let me say, so after my degree, I then went to UK to focus my learning in business. And in particular, as I said, it was a program there called the Patterson School of Diplomacy and International Commerce. You actually end up with a master's degree in international business administration. And so at one point I thought I might want to be a diplomat or something, but that didn't work. That wasn't that really wasn't in the cards for me. So I think it's important to say I build that foundation and when I finished, and I think it's important for entrepreneurship to say this, you know, the first year out of college, I think I had like 8 W-2 forms because I
how many jobs?
I had 8. but I did everything. I mean, I was a janitor with a master's degree. Okay. I swept floors. I was a line cook in a restaurant. They said, can you cook steaks? Well, I never cooked steak. They said, you know, let me show you how to make it medium rare or whatever. So I learned that. But somewhere in the middle of that, and I'll come back to this because I think not just as an entrepreneur, but as a man, it's important to say this. You know, I got married and my wife has been a very big supporter of the things that I do. And so with her now, we celebrated our 41st anniversary this year. I think that's a very important part of who I am as well. But working and committing yourself to what you do is not going to be like easy. It's not going to just like put in the microwave and your career is ready in 20 minutes. So I worked my way through a number of different jobs for a year or two there. And we moved to New Orleans. While New Orleans has a reputation as a port city, and it is not just a reputation, it's a very important port, but the products that are shipped out of the port of New Orleans are not necessarily made here. So it didn't lend itself to my career path that I wanted to forge in international business and trade. So I started doing some other research, and I first got a job at Loyola University, teaching a course in international business. And I had some other jobs. And eventually I got a job at Xavier University in their Economic Development Center where we met and of course got to know one another. And from there, you know, my career built. And at that point in time, I remember saying to myself, I was becoming such a generalist. As you know, in economic development, you learn a little bit about this type of company and next week it might be another type of company. And we provided that technical assistance service to a number of companies in the different industries. But my vision and what I wanted to do is learn about a specific industry that I could then jump into. And so I transitioned from Xavier, working in the Economic Development Center. I worked there as well in the Department of Business and Economics. And a post came across one day saying, there's a new organization formed called the Louisiana Seafood Promotion and Marketing Board. And they were looking for an executive director. And so I applied, and I applied, and I say this, and I'll let you jump in, saying to when I interviewed for the job, my skill and my experience was marketing. I knew nothing about the seafood industry. So when we got down to the final two candidates, the other candidate was a biologist, a marine biologist. He knew everything there is about fish and seafood, and I knew very little at that time. But it was to market those, not to raise them in a farm or to know how to catch them per se, or how they mature and or the ecology of it, but to market them. So they hired me, and so in a sense the rest is history. That's how. So I spent about 14 years in that job learning about the seafood industry and Louisiana, of course, depending on the product, we are compared to, you know, number one in the United States in a number of products. And when you look at total volume, it's always between Alaska and Louisiana. So I was the director of the largest seafood industry in America here in Louisiana. And so that's where I learned about this industry.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Economic Perspectives on KAZI 88.7 FM. I'm Hopeton Hay. My guest is Carl Turner. He is the president and founder of A La Carte Specialty Foods, based in the New Orleans, Louisiana area, and they sell seafood products to restaurants and grocery stores, and hopefully soon will be appearing on the shelves or the refrigerated sections of grocery stores here in Texas. When you were at the Seafood Promotion and Marketing Board, were you already planning and thinking about learning as much as you can to actually become an entrepreneur at some point in time when you were working there?
Oh, yes. That was the point when I go back and I said I wanted to find an industry that I could immerse myself in. And at that time, you know, we're going back a few years now, but the seafood industry, and in particular in Louisiana, was at its early stages of exploding, really, because, you know, they had some programs then they called the underutilized species program. That means fish that people were not eating as much and they were underutilized. There are no underutilized species anymore. Fish are being fished at their maximum sustainable yield in most cases. So I was in the game at the early stages. There was not fierce competition like there is now imported shrimp. Farm salmon was not what it is today. So Alaskan salmon. So I began to learn about the industry. I became a member of and was a board member of what's called the National Fisheries Institute. and which is headquartered in Washington, D.C. I was one of the regional directors. So I was taking them in as much as I could about the seafood industry, realizing that that was a, when you look at it in Louisiana, you know, I guess oil and gas is the number one industry, and tourism is probably number two. And seafood is the third largest industry in the state when you look at, you know, the total economic impact and jobs, especially in, and without a doubt, in the south of I-10, the seafood industry is very, very important to the state's economy, and not just to its economy, but to its culture. So when you think about, I wasn't just learning about the seafood industry. I was also learning much about the culture of the cuisine, and I work with a lot of chefs. I work with Chef Paul Prudhomme, Emeril Lagasse, and I, we could afford him at that time. I actually went to New York with Chef Emeril Lagasse, and we, at that time, rented out the executive dining facility of Gourmet Magazine. And we sent these big 10-gallon, gumbo pots to all the top food writers in America, in New York. And that was their invitation. And inside there was all kinds of spices and trinkets. And they had to come to our event for the main ingredient. And that was how it was set up. So at that time, you know, I worked with a lot of the top chefs learning about how to cook and how the cuisine and the seafood, of course, is the main ingredient, but the flavors and all. So I was very much planning to stay in this industry. Now, something happened along the way, though, that I took a detour.
But let me stop you real quick. So when you made that decision to take the detour, mm-hmm. was it from a sense of wanting to give back, knowing that you wanted to start your own, and I'm going to assume, seafood distribution business? Or mm-hmm. What drove that decision?
You know, politics in Louisiana, let me just say, and for some of those in Texas as well will know this, there was a big battle that occurred in Louisiana in the fisheries industry, and in Texas as well, along the Gulf Coast in general, where there was a sport fishing group that had bought, who was pushing to make redfish a game fish. And at that time, they were moving legislation to ban the use of nets in Louisiana and in Texas for harvesting of finfish. And in fact, in the long run, the sportsmen won that battle, and redfish, and to some extent trout, was designated as a game fish, taking it out of the consumer market and placing it exclusively as a recreational fish. Now, when that battle happened, I will tell you a quick story, because it was very, very important in my decision. I decided if they don't want commercial fishermen to use nets in Louisiana for catching fish, then they're not committing to the long-term sustainability of this industry. But on this particular day in the Louisiana legislature, when this bill passed and I was there, and they had a group of guys from what was then formerly the USSR, you know, Russia, and they had broken them up into little different countries. And they had come to all places, Louisiana, to learn how democracy works, they said. They hit the gavel. Yeah, I know, but listen to the story. So there was one person who was a chairman of the Senate Natural Resources Committee, and he was by profession a physician. And he said to the committee members that we should be guided by science, that we should be guided by biology, that commercial fishermen are not overfishing, that this is not about sustainability, it's about allocation, not, you know, conservation. Who gets the fish allocated? So we should be guided by science. Another senator got up from the back of the room and ran to the podium and said, slammed his fist on the desk and said, "Since when has truth been the basis of action in this chamber?" Now, we're in the Louisiana legislature. At this point, I'm saying, I got to get out of here. This is crazy. So that's what triggered my decision to leave the Seafood Marketing Board at that time.
So 5 years with Xavier University in institutional advancement. Did that help at all with shaping you as an entrepreneur? Were there things you learned from that experience that helped you?
Yeah, I take everything. You know, I will say this. I had the great honor of working alongside Dr. Norman Francis as his, you know, number one person for fundraising. And during my tenure, we raised $125 million for the Xavier University's various programs. And so what I learned from Dr. Francis, I learned a lot from him and from the staff and the people that are our team. But one of the things he used to always say is go with your gut. You know, don't necessarily leave, you know, follow, people say, follow your heart. He says, follow your gut. What's in there? It's telling you something. And so my gut was telling me, I've completed something here at Xavier. I had two sons, both of them were in college. And if I ever was going to make a decision to make that jump, I had a very nice job, you know, six-figure job, but I jumped out a window one day, so to speak. And by that, I mean symbolically, because I had no customers. I just had a vision. But I think important to entrepreneurship is vision. And so I decided I didn't want to just be in the business of raw seafood. By raw, I mean raw shrimp or you know, frozen shrimp or frozen fish, because those are commodities. So what I was doing was learning, and is there's a category called value added. When you create value by your brand, because a brand can be value, or you create a recipe that you control and that others can't have, then you created a unique item that creates a higher value. So what I learned at Xavier and what I learned from the Seafood Marketing Board, I learned that it's important to have the right product. And then what I learned about from Xavier is about branding, right? Because it was my job to market, I say this, the brand of Xavier, because that is a brand, and institutional advancement is the business of higher education. So I learned the importance of branding and also working with a good team and the leadership and the vision that I learned those qualities from Dr. Francis, I took with me when I formed my company. And in the early days, it wasn't easy. You know, you gotta get up early in the morning and run and stay up late and worry. But I had a vision, and that vision panned out. But I will tell you this, early on in my business, my first customer, we developed three items. We developed a shrimp fettuccine, a seafood gumbo, and something we called a shrimp boulette, which is like a little French word for ball. So those items were presented to Walmart, and we were in 725 Walmart stores. That was my first customer. And wow. So that worked out.
Let me jump in here real quick. And if you just join us, you're listening to Economic Perspectives on KAZI 80.7 FM. I'm Hopeton Hay. My guest is Carl Turner, president and founder of A La Carte Specialty Foods. And we're going down the journey of how he started the business. When you started the business, number one, did your spouse support you? I already know the answer to that. Because if you're married, mm-hmm. or you have a significant other, when you start a business, isn't that really a joint decision?
Oh, it is a joint decision. I didn't just come home one day and say, babe, I quit my job. As I said, she has always been very supportive of me and I of her. But at that time, understanding in the scheme of our life, we have two sons. They were both in college. One of my sons was in Morehouse College at that time. Another one had been accepted into Stanford. So we had some big bills for college tuition at that time, but my wife knew that I'd always talked about being in business for myself. In fact, we had a fund that we saved from the beginning of our marriage that was set aside for at some point I would like to start my business. And so, of course, she was very supportive. And I say it's very instrumental in my being able to maintain and to prosper and to move forward in where I am today. So without her, you know, I give her kudos and certainly.
Now, you ran that Economic Development Center, and I believe it was funded by the U.S. Department of Commerce Economic Development Administration, EDA, right?
That's correct.
So you had to have had a business plan, right? You didn't start the business without a business plan,
no,
right?
I had a business plan, and one of our old colleagues, Kevin Williams, was very helpful.
Yeah, Kevin Williams, yes.
You remember that name?
Kevin, I remember him.
Yes.
Is he still a lender?
No, he's retired now, as a matter of fact.
But, okay.
He was working with a banking organization before he went into some, I think, form of disability. He had an accident or something. So he's still kicking. He's still kicking, a big Saints fan. But yes, a business plan is very important. And I had been working on, as I said, I didn't just jump out the window and say, I'm in the seafood business. I actually partnered with someone who is local, owning and operating the shrimp processing plant. But my vision and my business plan, which is not something he was doing at the time, was value added. Remember, so my business plan was not just built around going into the seafood business, but going into a specific category of the seafood business. Now, I will tell you, sometime, you know, when you do a business plan, and you should, no matter what the business, just to give you an idea of the competition and the trends in terms of, you know, flavor profiles in this case, or whether it should be breaded or with a sauce, but what's trending so that you have some idea where the market is. Also, I say this, sometimes you have to have faith and believe, because if you overthink
it. I got to stop you. You know why?
Okay. Why?
You had faith, but you started saving from the beginning of your marriage. I want this to be clear, that you didn't come in with no money. You had a lot of money saved. You talked it over with your wife. You had been learning as much as you could from the seafood industry with the Seafood Promotion and Marketing Board, and you have faith.
Right. Faith, not just in myself, but I'm saying faith in God, and that, you know, right. I made a plan. And it's important that you have all of those elements that you talk about. I've heard of people, I was looking at a Shark Tank the other night, and she started her business with $300 and now she's selling $15 million. But the thing about it is that you do have to come to the party with something in your basket. You got to have a plan. You got to have a vision. And the vision is important too, because at one level, there's a book that came out a few years ago called The World is Flat. And so one of the things it said is that there's one important chart I want you to remember in the book. You call it the smile graph. One end of the smile is where the vision occurs. And then production occurs. Production occurs in this case, a low-cost market like China. And then the smile goes back up on the other end, and that's where marketing and distribution is. So the vision is important that you have. So I had a vision for my product, and the product that I sell the most and is the engine of our company is produced in China. And then we bring it back to the United States and we market it throughout the country.
That was part one of my interview with Carl Turner, president of A La Carte Specialty Foods, talking about his career as an entrepreneur. Part two will air next Monday. Thank you for listening to Economic Perspectives on KAZI 88.7 FM. I'm Hopeton Hay, your host.